From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Dale Carter's America. There may be a small technical issue at the beginning of this episode. We've got some new technology, new computer, some new hardware that we're working with. So apologies on my part. Thanks for your patience. There may be a tiny echo, but after about 10 minutes, it goes away. So just power through it and keep listening. And thanks for tuning in to Dale Carter's America.
Welcome back to the podcast. It's a little late this week. It's a special weekend version. We had a couple of things come up, and we definitely wanted to be after the election. Notice that I'm wearing my Royals hoodie today. We'll get into all that and what it means and where it started and where we go from here coming up on this version of Dale Carter's America, the podcast. Brought to you in part by our good friend Bob Watson, State Farm agent for nearly five decades. In fact, he will celebrate his 50th anniversary as a State Farm agent on May 1st. They're going to have food trucks out in front of the office there. It's going to be a big party to celebrate Bob, and he'd love for you to come by. Even if you're not a client, talk to Bob. He's a great guy to bounce things off of in terms of where we're going politically, and of course, he's an expert on insurance, and he's got State Farm behind him. Auto, home, life, 816-229-7878, 7th and Main in Blue Springs. That's where the office is, and that's where the party's going to be on May 1st, but he's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, and he can definitely take care of you. So, Kurt, this is usually where you tell folks how they can subscribe so that they never miss an episode of this important podcast.
Yes, it is very important, and we thank you for tuning in. You can follow the video podcast on YouTube or Rumble, and then the audio version, if you're listening in the car or something like that, you can check that out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to subscribe. It really helps us out. Click that notification bell on YouTube so that you are notified when a new episode drops. Like Dale said, normally they come out on Wednesday, but this one is a little bit different because of the election. And then you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram as well. Lots of comments on Facebook. We've had some good engagement these past couple weeks, and everyone chiming in on the election and everything else going on. So we appreciate your guys' comments and feedback and sharing the posts, and really helps out. Thank you.
You know, longtime podcast listener, super fan, I would call him, Mark Zarda. He wants to be one of those people to rappel down the side of Arrowhead Stadium.
Oh, that's right. I saw him post about
this. Yeah. So if you can help him out with that, he needs to commit to at least $1,000 to get that done. The podcast is going to put $100 up toward that. So we'll get him on his way there. And I don't know, can we link to his Facebook page? What's the best way to do that?
I can post something on the Facebook page, yeah.
Because he sent me the link for Down for the Challenge KC with the Salvation Army. So we'll get that up, and you can help out our buddy Mark Zarda because he wants to rappel down the side of Arrowhead Stadium, and I think we ought to be there when he does it.
Don't Mr. You? Tough Guy.
Hey, Marine, right?
Yeah,
Semper Fi. Okay.
He's probably done it before then.
So speaking of Arrowhead, the election is in the books. You know, we at the podcast, it's an interesting coalition of people that came together for this thing. Kurt, you and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
People that you would not think would come together over an issue. For instance, me and the Kansas City Star. And, you know, some folks in the Crossroads District, the liberals. In fact, one of the last direct mail pieces I got in my house was, don't let the liberals do this to us.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, but those mailers really pissed me off. I mean, they were infuriating.
You know, the John Sherman really has no further to look than himself on how this thing fell apart.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, it's his fault. And whoever was behind those mailers, because you had people who were on the fence and were like, you know, it's an extension of a sales tax. I can get on board with that. And then you had people that were dead no's. And I was one of those because of the fiasco with the property tax issue going on in Jackson County and the fact that I'm just trying to get us the hell out of Jackson County. And maybe they'll kick us out at some point if we keep saying no to revenue opportunities. So that's partly my motivation there. So you had people on the fence, and then these flyers start coming in the mail, and I probably got 20 of them.
Oh, yeah. There was a bunch.
Easily.
There was a bunch.
And each one was more dire than the next. And then it started focusing on the Chiefs. All the memories at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're never going to be able to see the Chiefs there again. I really thought the last one would come with like a mushroom cloud over Arrowhead.
Right, right.
That would have been the way to go on that. So it failed, and it failed pretty bad.
Yeah, this is the one that I was, or that you were just talking about.
Right radical here. Liberals are hell-bent on taking the Chiefs away from us. So,
I mean, it's so dishonest. And, like, here's the thing. You and I obviously both understand and believe that the radical left is causing a lot of problems in this country. But, like, to try and bandwagon off of that, and, you know, they're posting, like, I guess this is the tenants, you know, the KC tenants movement or whatever they call it, which is like this left wing, you know, movement that really has nothing to do with the stadium vote at all. And then, you know, they got the people with the masks on and the fist up in the air. And it's like, you know, these radical liberals, they're taking the Chiefs from us. Get that shit out of here. It's such bullshit.
It truly is. And where do we go from here? So the vote failed. So if you believe the Flyers, they're both gone. The Royals, the rumor is they're going to go to Nashville. The Chiefs are probably going to go to the Kansas side. If you believe all the rumors, I don't believe all of those rumors. Let's take you back in time. I thought this would be a good history exercise for us, because some may not remember this, that there used to be a stadium called Municipal Stadium at 19th and Brooklyn, which is closer to where they wanted to build the new Royals Stadium, right? And the Chiefs and the A's shared that facility, the Kansas City A's. And then Charlie Finley said, I'm getting the hell out of Kansas City. I'm going to Oakland. So the Oakland A's were born. And then Kansas City got an expansion franchise, the Kansas City Royals. The determination was made in the late 60s that we're going to do something radical here. We're going to take this huge swath of land we have on the east side, and we're going to build side-by-side stadiums and all the parking that you would ever need. The Truman Sports Complex. Jackson County made the decision to do that. They floated a $102 million bond, and that's what paid for the stadiums. Mm-hmm. So Jackson County owns those stadiums. The Royals don't own it. The Chiefs don't own it. They lease from Jackson County. And that is the only county money that was spent, I think insurance, they also pick up the insurance tab, but the only county money spent until 2006. In 2006, they went before the voters and said, look, the stadiums are falling apart. We really want to get them up to snuff here. And, you know, if we do that rolling roof, which was a separate question, we can get a Super Bowl for Kansas City. So the voters in 2006 said yes to the first question. We're going to spend $500 million to upgrade Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium. But they said no to the rolling roof, so we didn't get a Super Bowl. Okay, so we're still paying that 3/8 cent sales tax. That doesn't go away. This vote was to basically, because John Sherman got a wild hair up his ass, and he said, we're going to move downtown, and we're going to need $1 billion to do it, so we need this tax extended for 40 years.
Yeah.
And he never came up with a reason why. You know, because I want to.
Right.
Okay. Pay for it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, there was never a good enough reason really given. And then on top of that, it was very rushed. There was never any good offers made to the business owners in the Crossroads and downtown. And here's the thing, like, you know, and we talked about the coalition and things like that. I don't even really care about some of these businesses personally. You know, it's not like a personal thing for me. Like, there's business, I'm not going to name any, but there's businesses that were mentioned in that area that I have personal problems with, actually, like because of some stuff with COVID and, you know, venues and things like that. But that doesn't change the fact that it's a small business that is operating in Kansas City, and you don't get to just steamroll them without making some kind of offer or reaching an agreement. You know what I mean? Like, that's just basic decency, whether you like them or not.
Yeah.
You know, and there was never any reasonable proposal on that. And it's like, oh, but my sports teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the current lease,
they'll figure it out.
The current lease goes through 2031. So this is not a front burner, they're leaving right now issue.
Right.
And this is where maybe with some introspection, they might say, where did we screw up? And I think they screwed up because they didn't have a great plan. And then they did what everybody in politics does, especially on the left, when they can't convince you. And we're going to get into some of that a little bit later on here. When they can't convince you of what they want to do, then they scare tactic you.
Right.
And that's exactly what they did. And everybody knows that the Royals have been on hard times since they won the World Series in 2015. So they didn't even focus on the Royals. They focused on the Chiefs. If you don't do this, the Chiefs are going to move.
Right.
So that's where we are. It failed. I think the grown-ups are going to get in the room. They're going to come up with a better plan, a better option, and maybe it'll be something that we get behind. I don't know.
Yeah, and they focused on the Chiefs, too, because the Royals suck.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, right. they had to bring in the team that's actually doing well that people, you know, care about. And
I will tell you this. My wife, you know, who loves the Royals and Chiefs, grew up here, and she's been a lifelong Royals and Chiefs fan. She was on the fence. I thought we were going to cancel our votes out. And as we got more and more of those flyers at the house, she got more and more pissed off.
Yeah.
And then by the end, she's like, I can't wait to vote. And I think there was a lot of that going on, too.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. So that's where we are right now. We'll continue to follow this, and we'll keep an eye on it. But again, you know, I didn't look at the breakdown of votes, but I'm going to guess that Eastern Jackson County overwhelmingly voted no again. So we'll take a little bit of credit for that. And again, maybe they'll kick us out of the county and we can set up our own deal. I don't know where we are on all that. You know, I'm continuing to talk to Jeff Coleman, who tells me to hang in there. It's in the works and blah, 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 blah. So we'll see where that goes. So that's the end of that. We move forward with saluting another one of our sponsors. That would be Royal Roofing and Solar. Man, I'm seeing Mike Dale post all kinds of stuff from Royal Roofing and Solar with electric bills that are either credits where, because of the solar they put on top of the house, they're generating more electricity than they're using from Evergy, or very small Evergy bills.
Yeah.
So check that out. Royal Roofing and Solar, if it's your forever home, this is something you can do to turn the tide on the huge electric bills that are out there. Reach them at 816-540-7057. If you just need a roof, they can take care of that as well. A couple of websites for you, solarbyroyal.com and royalcontractingkc.com. Austin Watterson's company, they do fine work. And make sure, because there's all kinds of roofers out there that don't pass the muster that Royal Roofing and Solar does. Austin told me this. There may be people on your property who are 1099 employees. They're not covered by the company. So if they get hurt on your property, it could be your problem.
Right.
So make sure that when you're talking about a new roof, that you're getting a company like Royal Roofing and Solar. In fact, that's the one that we recommend here. Medicare Simplified KC. Boy, you know, my recent hospital stay, I kind of wish, I hate to speed up my life clock here, but I almost wish I was on Medicare, which is still 4.5 years away from me, because at 65, that's when you go on Medicare, and there's 10 million people a day, or 10,000 people a day, turning 65 in this country. I got my bill. It was a 4-day stay at KU Med, and I think the total bill was over $40,000.
Yeah.
And they really didn't do a lot. They just kept me there under observation because, you know, I had that infection that had to go away. $40,000. And my part in it with our insurance, $7,000.
Come on, man.
$7,000. So when I get to Medicare, I think that's going to take care of a lot of that. But I know there will be gaps in the system. And that's why Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker are there to help you if you're one of those people approaching 65. Over the past 10 years, they've helped thousands of people just like you understand Medicare and how it applies to their particular circumstances. It is not a one-size-fits-all proposition. There are holes in it. And Kirk and Lori can help you with that to find out which plan works best for you. They're on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Their office is at 3600 South Nolan Road in Independence. And you can reach them on the phone at 816-701-6661, MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Some pickings from the world of politics. Kansas legislature, House and Senate, have passed a bill. And I keep looking at the news on this because I'm thinking that Governor Kelly is going to veto it. She hasn't yet, as of this broadcast, to keep minors from making permanent sex change decisions. Or if you want to put it in PC speak, gender-affirming care, because they like their language, right? Because that sounds so Easter Bunny-ish, doesn't it? Gender-affirming care. It's like Sanctuary City. we care. Right. What they're promoting when they say that is a boy who says he wants to be a girl who's underage can go in and get things chopped off, carved in, and that's permanent.
Yeah, that doesn't sound as friendly.
and you know, we just think on this show that if you are going to do something like that, you ought to be an adult, right? If you're an adult and you make a decision to do that, I got a friend who at 50 years old decided he wasn't a man anymore. He was going to be a woman. Okay, go with God. You know, as long as I'm not paying for it, I don't care what you do. But minors should not be doing that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, at least.
And that's sure. The issue there. Mayor of Baltimore fighting back against being labeled the DEI mayor over the Key Bridge collapse. What happened to, you know, shit going wrong in this country and you just go out and you fix it?
Right.
Why does it always have to be about race? I know it's play number one of the Democrats, but why does it always have to be about race?
Well, they can't help themselves because they suck. So, I mean, you know, Baltimore has been run by Democrats for decades now, and it's not getting any better. So any criticism has to be shed off of them, and they have to deflect. So this is the main thing that they use to deflect.
You got a clip on that?
Yeah, he was on Joy Reid. Again, I'm trying not to be distracted by her hair because it's just fascinating to me. But let's watch this real quick.
I know, and we all know, and you know very well, that black men and young black men in particular have been the boogeyman for those who are racist and think that only straight, wealthy white men should have a say in anything. We've been the boogeyman from them since the first day they brought us to this country. And what they mean by DEI, in my opinion, is duly elected incumbent. We know what they want to say, but they don't have the courage to say the N-word. And the fact that I don't believe in their untruthful and wrong ideology, and I am very proud of my heritage and who I am and where I come from, scares them. Because me being at my position means that their way of thinking, their way of life, of being comfortable and suffering, and while everyone else suffers, is going to be at risk. And they should be afraid, because that's my purpose in life.
Get the port open. Okay, yeah. A boat hit the bridge. It got knocked over.
Fix the bridge.
What the hell?
And while we're at it, let's look at the crime rate in Baltimore, you know, maybe compared to some other cities. But again, you know, I get distracted by people's looks sometimes, for better or worse. And you're on national TV.
Yeah.
You're on MSNBC on national TV defending your city, and you're wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
You can't wear a suit. You can't put a suit and tie on as the mayor of Baltimore to go on TV. Come on.
That's racist. Don't be racist.
I mean, it's the same thing. You know, I've said the same thing about, what's his name? The big Ophi
Fetterman.
Guy that had the stroke. Yeah.
Yeah, Fetterman.
He does the same thing, and it's inexcusable. You're a congressman, you know? Like, have some respect for the office. Wear a suit. Come on.
I'm wearing a Royals hoodie today. What do you want to say to me?
Well,
a tie to do this podcast now?
Maybe. You do. I don't. I'm just the lowly co-host.
Here's my prediction on this. It was the Francis Scott Key Bridge that was knocked over by that boat. What are the chances it will not be called the Francis Scott Key Bridge when it's rebuilt? Because that's
100%
racist.
Chances it will not be called that anymore. I guarantee it.
Okay, so DEI, while we're on the subject of this, this popped up yesterday from Pete Buttigieg. You want to talk about DEI? We made fun of the Biden administration because it was like somebody had like a big bingo board down in the basement of the White House, and they were like trying to fill all the squares to make sure that they had everything covered for DEI. So Pete Buttigieg, who ran South Bend, Indiana, which is not a travel hub of America, became the Secretary of Transportation. Why? Because he's a young gay man. He filled the square. He's a young gay man. So yesterday, Pete Buttigieg was on TV, and I was talking about, you know, how the Chiefs and Royals thing went down. It was a terrible plan, and then when we didn't buy into the terrible plan, it became scare tactic. And that exactly describes what's happening with the electric car, the EV kind of a thing. Because they said, this is going to be great. You're going to plug in your car and we're going to save the planet. And nobody bought them. I mean, they're selling more than they ever have, but it's a very, very small number. And then it's like, well, if they're not going to buy them, well, we'll take tax dollars and we'll give you tax credits for it. That didn't increase the demand curve. So what do they do now? Now they're making fun of you. Now they're saying that you're basically a knuckle dragger if you don't go along with this. And do we have the quote from Pete about phone lines? Because I thought this was hysterical.
I'm not sure if this is it or not. I haven't watched it, so yeah. We'll just test it out.
John, let me just pursue that if I could with you. Tesla sales fell 8.5% the first quarter of this year. Ford this week is laying off two-thirds of its workforce at the F-150 electric Lightning plant. It's also scaling back a battery production facility because of sagging sales. EV sales are nowhere near what this president wanted or expected, yet the administration continues to shove them down consumers' throats. Why?
Well, let's be clear. Consumers have wanted and purchased more EVs every single year than the year before. And, you know, Tesla is facing more competition as GM and Ford and Stellantis and other competitive players start to make sure they get a piece of the EV market. Let's be clear that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and we can't pretend otherwise. Sometimes when these debates happen, I feel like it's the early 2000s, and I'm talking to some people who think that we can just have landline phones forever. The reality is that the automotive sector is moving toward EVs, and the U.S. can either fall behind China or we can claim the lead. President Biden wants to make sure that those EVs are made in America, especially, again, as more Americans choose EVs every single year than the year before.
Yeah, well, if they went from 8 to 10, that's more. And 10 to 12 is more. You know, we talk about these EVs all the time. You're plugging into a coal-fired grid. I was behind one on I-70 the other day, and not only was it an EV, they had a big bumper sticker that said, I'm driving an EV. Like, fine, whatever. And then he talks about landlines. Let's talk about the transition from landlines to mobile phones. Did the government have to pay us to have mobile phones, or did technology and the market dictate that?
Right. Yeah, I don't remember there being a mobile phone tax credit, you know,
or a mandate
for companies or for individuals buying them, or any kind of mandate.
Exactly. You know? A mandate that said, hey, if you don't get off the landline by X year, you know, that's all we're going to have. Some people still have landlines. I don't.
Right.
The government didn't make me do it. It just, every time it rang in my house, it was like somebody trying to sell me something. I'm like, what the hell do I need this for?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't have do you have a landline?
No.
We have landlines at the radio station.
Yeah.
There's a landline right there.
I never use it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should, as a cost-cutting move, get rid of the damn thing. It's just, you know, when they make arguments like that, and then it's against a backdrop of they haven't improved the infrastructure. I mean, how many EV stations have they put up? And now they're telling over-the-road truckers they're going to have to be EV, and that's going to destroy this economy. Just absolutely, utterly destroy the economy. That's why this election in November means more than any. You know, we say this every time, but this is probably the most important election in the history of the country. I guess we could go California here. California has instituted a $20 an hour minimum wage, and that's not all of it. My wife, who does tax law for H&R Block, said, do you know that if you're a salaried person in California, it's not just the $20 an hour minimum wage. If you have a salaried job, that has to start at $32 an hour. In other words,
wow,
just under $67,000 a year for an entry-level salary job.
$32 an hour. Well, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Guess what's going to happen?
Gee, can we predict?
Well, this happened in California literally the day that this bill passed. There was some fast food workers that got fired. The whole chain shut down.
We had walked up and those close signs, that was it.
20 employees and the more were let go today because the owner says he could not afford to pay them with that increase. Now employees are upset, saying they were blindsided when coming into work. Fox 26 reporter Sophia Lesios explains why those employees were in disbelief. Sophia, what a surprise.
Yeah, Monty. Former employees tell me that at first they thought it was an April Fool's joke, but that quickly changed when their boss handed them their final check.
I was so caught off guard. We had no type of notice, no type of warning even. I mean, the owner had told me Happy Easter.
Employees at Foster Freeze and Lemoore say they're now out of a job.
We had gotten a text in the group chat that we were shutting down, and I completely thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Turns out, he wasn't the only one.
Did you guys think that this was an April Fool's joke?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So I thought, like, he must be joking.
So, yeah, there you go. They showed up to work, and their jobs were gone because the employer can no longer afford to pay them.
I thought these owners just had deep pockets, and they were, like, rolling into cash, and they would just eat it.
Yeah. That's what we're made to believe. Then here's another quick example that this guy posted. He went on the Arby's app and he put his location as California and Arizona. So the prices of the price of a classic roast beef in California is $9.24.
God.
And in Arizona it's $5.59.
Wow. Okay. Well, that tells you everything you need to know. Yeah. Cost of living just keeps going up and up and up, and mandates are going to force it to go up, or businesses are going to shut down. That's just the way the economy works.
Yeah, and automation, too. You know, I mean, you see in McDonald's is a big one, and a lot of these other places, they've automated the drive-through. They've automated the ordering system in the restaurant. When you walk in, you have those screens now that you know, type your thing on. There's no more people to take your order. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting story, too, from across the pond. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, who is, you know, or is it Rowling or Rowling?
Rowling, I think.
All right. It's the Harry Potter author. Everybody knows who Harry Potter is. Scotland, I guess where J.K. lives, has a hate crime and public order bill. It says stirring up hatred against any quote-unquote protected group, including transgenders, a crime. So Rowling puts out a tirade and says, look, I'm going to call women women, and I'm going to call men men. And I dare you to arrest me.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if she actually is or not. But there's been a bunch of stuff on this. The first day that the law was passed, there was 3,000 reports in just one day. So you think people are going to, you know, maybe take advantage of this and maybe file false reports because they don't like being made fun of on Twitter? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to get out of hand very quickly.
Well, and then, it's only for protected classes. So people like you and me, they can say whatever they want.
Yeah. And then the guy that was the picture in that Guardian article, he's the first minister of Scotland, which I think is like, I don't know exactly how it works, but he's the leader of their the party, like the kind of primary party in Scotland. And on Twitter, I was just looking through, there was an old clip of him that surfaced. This is not in direct relation to this bill, but it's just kind of shows you where he's coming from. I thought this was relevant to show.
White, the Lord Justice Clerk, white. Every High Court judge, white. The Lord Advocate, white. The Solicitor General, white. The Chief Constable, white. Every Deputy Chief Constable, white. Every Assistant Chief Constable, white. The head of the Law Society, white. The head of the Faculty of Advocates, white. Every prison governor, white. And not just
Justin. He keeps going on for a while, but
yeah, they got a lot of white people in Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, you live in Scotland, bro. I mean, it's like you go to Ghana. You're like a white dude, and you go to Ghana, and you get in the legislature in Ghana, and you're like, everyone here is black.
The How president, did that happen?
Black. The court, black.
As a 60-year-old white guy, sometimes I just want to curl up in a fetal position and hope I don't offend anybody.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. By the way, before we leave this whole section on this and that, something I wanted to mention about Baltimore and that mayor. As we record this on April 4th, this is the anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968. He was the man famous for saying that we should judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And I wonder what he would think about what's going on now, where it's group versus group, and you've got Sharpton and Jackson out there making money off of the discord in this country. What would Martin Luther King Jr. think about that? Because it flies in the face of everything that he preached about individualism and, again, that your character matters far more than the color of your skin?
It's a good question.
Yeah. And I wish he were here to answer that, because I think he would be a better representative than what we get with Sharpton and Jackson. Midwest GI Health, Dr. Mark Terramina. I may have to go see him after my hospital stay. I'm having some issues.
Uh-oh. Yeah, uh-oh. Yeah, yeah.
and they take care of things. says, we also offer outpatient hemorrhoid treatment. Not that I want to pull the curtain back too far on what I may be suffering from in relation to my broken backbone, but there might be some issues down there. And who knows? I think I got to look at the clock there on when I had my last colonoscopy. It might be time to go back. And Dr. Mark Terramina is the man. Google rating, 4.9 out of 5 stars. He'll take care of you. And colon cancer, this thing that I dealt with in the hospital, this is like, you know, a bug bite compared to colon cancer. Colon cancer will kill you. They catch it early. It's treatable. And that's the message here. If you're 45 or older and you have not had your colon cancer screening yet, make sure you get on the calendar with Dr. Mark Terramina and Midwest GI Health and Wellness. They are in Lee's Summit. You can reach them on the phone at 816-836-2200, on the web at midwestgihealth.com. A great staff there. They'll take care of the entire thing there. You don't even have to be referred. Right? Used to be in the old days, you had to be referred by your GP. Not the case. If you're 45 or older, make that phone call yourself to 816-836-2200.
Now you can be referred by us.
Exactly. And we're not even doctors.
Yeah.
I mean, I would wear a lab coat, but it would ruin my hoodie look for today.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we always say, right after you've gotten that done in Lee's Summit, you go right up the road on 50 Highway, and you go to Funhouse Pizza. And Jim Dingman's going to have a big old pie stacked high with toppings for you so that you can celebrate the fact that you got your colonoscopy. Funhouse Pizza is a great place to be. Jim is an awesome sponsor. I think Jim was the first one to sign on as a sponsor. And, you know, April 1st through the 17th, at his place. So that's going on right now at Funhouse Pizza. Something that was near and dear to his late wife, Audrey's heart, was Shep's Place. It's where they, you know, a place where, you know, they take strays and then they hopefully get them adopted again. Shep's Place takes care of a lot of animals that way. And because of Audrey, Jim and his staff are going to donate half their tips. And then Funhouse Pizza will match that amount. So when you're there, tip high so that more money will go to Shep's Place in Audrey's honor. All right.
Tremendous people.
You bet. So, and we need to get on the calendar. Maybe when I get back from vacation, we can go do a deal at Funhouse Pizza.
Yep.
Have some fun and some pie. As we get closer and closer to the presidential race, some just silly shit has happened in the last week. Biden is mulling giving green cards to illegals. Have you heard about that?
Briefly. Yeah, briefly.
So, I mean, that would just like, he says he's serious about the border, but the only way that we can be serious about the border is to pass this hideous bill out of Congress that was a Christmas tree bill that had all kinds of other stuff on it other than the border that would have allowed 5,000 people in a day. I don't know that it would strengthen the border. Yet if he would tear up the executive orders he signed on day one, that would go a long way towards strengthening the border. But no, what they're mulling is giving green cards to illegals. And then, of course, they had the Easter egg roll at the White House. By the way, no one who was there was allowed any religious symbology.
Yeah.
None. And the president, was it the Easter Bunny? I'm not sure.
And I'm coming down to do that Easter egg roll in just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. Ooh. And by the way, say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here.
The Oyster Bunny.
Come on, get in there.
Did you know it was the Oyster Bunny?
Pretty big bunny, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all so very, very much.
What is
it's all yours.
What does the Oyster Bunny lay, by the way?
And what am I doing here?
Yeah, what are you doing here? Because also on Easter Sunday, the Catholic president of this country, and again, Easter, the biggest day on the Christian calendar, He had a tweet about Easter Sunday, but then another tweet about it being the trans day of visibility.
Yeah. There was a bunch of tweets about that. This is the official press release. And then, you know, the left was coming out and saying that, well, it's always been on March 31st every year. It just happened to coincide with Easter. But he made a point to, you know, make a declaration about this day happening at the same time as, he didn't obviously mention it was the same day as Easter, but he made a declaration about this day and a bunch of stuff. And it's just nonsense. And then more stuff was coming out about the person who founded it back in, you know, like 10, 15 years ago. And this is that person here.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, Translate Visibility, you should be able to see what it is, right?
It's Danny DeVito from...
oh, my. From the Batman movie, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And then there was another one. And I'm really not trying... I'm not trying to make fun of this person at all. I really genuinely, like, this is true mental illness on display, so I'm not making light of that.
Hi there!
I see you.
Hi!
Yeah.
I'm Rachel Crandall Crocker, and I'm executive director of Transgender Michigan, and I am founder and organizer of the International Transgender Day of Visibility. And I want to share with you how that all happened.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Oh, my.
It's really sad, man. I mean, it's sad for this person. You know, you want these people to get help, obviously, yeah. and find God and all that. But it's also sad for our culture. I mean, these are the people that we're putting in charge of our culture, you know, and that's not a good thing either. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, we could beat up on Joe Biden for an hour and a half. It is what it is. And he is declining every day. And if you can't see it, you're blind, or, you know, maybe you're stuck in your tribe. We're going to get to tribalism a little bit later on. But first, let's go to RFK Jr. He is the third party candidate in this race. He picked his vice presidential pick, Nicole Shanahan. I have no idea who that is.
Yep. Never heard of her. Never heard of her.
I understand she raised a lot of money for him, though.
She did. She raised a lot of money for his Super Bowl ad, apparently. She is a 38-year-old California-based attorney and the former wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin. Okay. Sergey? Uh-oh. And partially funded Kennedy's extraordinarily expensive Super Bowl ad. I don't know. I mean, he made a big deal, like, on Twitter about, oh, you're not going to want to miss this announcement. Yeah. It's going to be a huge announcement. Well, you know, I'm not going to do the RFK voice, but that's not what
he might hurt yourself if you do that. Yeah.
But, you know, and then he picks this totally bland pick, somebody that nobody's ever heard of. I mean, she's good to look at, but that's about it. I mean, what's the point of this? I don't know. Everyone was talking about he's going to pick Aaron Rodgers. He's going to pick Tulsi Gabbard. He's going to pick some,
Jesse Ventura that was on the short list.
You know, exciting pick, and he just picks some random donor. Yeah. It's like, okay.
All right. Well, he was on CNN, and I think he shocked the CNN people because, you know, the CNN MSNBC narrative is that Donald Trump and white people are the biggest dangers to democracy in this country, and RFK kind of spun that on its head.
Here we go.
But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal evil to Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court that shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat in democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, used the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies.
Well, he is.
Those are real.
And not only is he doing that to RFK Jr., but he's weaponizing the judicial system to go after Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Tie him up in court as many ways as he can and get as many indictments and charges as he can. That's what he's trying to do to Donald Trump right now.
Yeah, and I think this is where RFK is good. I mean, he's good on this stuff. He's good on the deep state stuff, the you know, the security state, if you will, the FBI, CIA. He's got a lot of inside information on that because of his family and because he's been involved in that kind of stuff for so long. You know, people say he's also good on the vaccines and things like that, but he still is a liberal on most issues. I don't think he's going to take a lot of votes away from Trump in this cycle, but maybe, I don't know, we'll see. But certainly his VP pick is not motivating anybody.
No, definitely not. So on to Donald Trump, and when he is talking about things like sealing the southern border, when he's talking about things like, you know, the debt and inflation and things like that, and rolling the tide back to when he was president, when it was a much better run country, I'm on board with him. I don't know, Kurt, that this is a good look for Donald Trump to be out hawking Bibles.
Proud to be partnering with my very good friend Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our founding father documents, yes, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day very hard to keep Americans protected. Also, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this God Bless the USA Bible. And it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You yeah. have to have it for your heart, for your soul.
Okay, so where are you at on this?
I mean, I agree it's not really a good look, but I don't think it's really that big of a deal. It's, you know, I should he be selling a Bible? Probably not, but I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Kind of think, you know, because they both have issues here. You know, yep. You've got a Catholic president who's out there in front on abortion, which right. is, you know, I was raised Catholic, and I still think that's a pretty big no-no in the Catholic right. Church. And then you've got Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is not a Boy Scout. You know that, Kurt.
Right.
This would almost be like Bill Clinton out there hawking a Bible. I mean, the two of them, if they got into a private room and there were no microphones around, the stories they could tell on each other. Seriously.
I'm sure Biden's been around the block too, man. I mean, he's been in politics his whole life. It's Hollywood for ugly people.
You know, Bill Clinton, and you know, I'm not a Boy Scout either. You know, I wrote a book and I took responsibility for a lot of things. I haven't done anything with it yet, but it's written and it's on my desk. And in that book, I take some responsibility for some of my bad behavior. And I think America is okay with that. They were okay with Bill. They knew what they were getting with Bill Clinton. They knew they weren't right. getting a Boy Scout. And then they looked at his wife and said, eh. but, you know, Donald...
can you blame him?
Donald yeah. Trump has kind of a checkered past in that area as well. Own it. Right? These are, you know, I did these things. So what? Move on. I just think that's a bad look.
Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you are a Christian conservative, or if you're Catholic, you know, or whatever, there's really no comparison between, you know, the policies and the positions of these two men. Yeah. It's not even close. So,
you know, a little off ramp here. I discovered a show, a miniseries on Amazon Prime called The Chosen. Have you heard about that?
I've heard of it. Never seen it.
I'm telling you. First of all, I have found as I've gotten older, I mean, I'm a cradle Catholic and I haven't been to Mass in I can't remember how many years. I find myself closer to God sitting in the front seat of my car, just having a conversation when I come into work every morning. You know, I thank God for everything that I have in my life. I pray to be a better person. And then I see a show like The Chosen. And when Jesus was picking his disciples, he didn't go after the holier-than-thou crowd.
Right.
They were misfits.
Right.
Right? And he purposely did that. He grabbed those people. And it reminds me of a saying that I heard, and I can't take credit for this, but when you're at a church, try and remember this. It's not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And if you keep that in perspective and try, and we're human, we're going to have judgy times. I got sucked into something yesterday on Facebook, and I just sat there and I went, why am I doing this?
Right.
Why am I having this conversation? And I found myself being judgmental. So I asked for forgiveness for that. So have a little grace, try not to be judgmental, and just, you know, be a better person.
Yeah, it's great advice.
Yeah.
Great advice.
And if you need a house, call Michael Schroer, because he's a guy who believes the same way that we do. He's a lifelong Kansas City resident. He's been selling and buying houses and properties for 35 years. He can find you the right house for you, no matter what stage of life you're in. Whether you're like Kurt and you got the young family there with the baby at home, or you're like me and all the kids. Well, most of them. I still got the stepkid. 4 years, three and a half more years. And then, you know, then we'll be downsizing. If you're downsizing, maybe you're building your dream home, there's some land you want to take a look at, Michael Schroer will take care of you. He's a real estate professional with RE/MAX Heritage. You can find him on the web at michaelschroer.com. Michael, just like you would spell it, S-C-H-R-O-E-R is his last name, and he's on the phone at 816-783-5800. If you're thinking about buying or selling or building, Michael Schroer should be your first call. He's the official real estate agent of Dale Carter's America. You were challenging me to have a deeper discussion on something, and what bubbled to the top for me was tribalism. And we talk about it quite a bit. You know, we're the red team. They're the blue team. Anything we do is great. Anything they do sucks. And we get in these corners and we can't come out of them. We try and be better. You know, back to the chosen and the disciples that Jesus put together. You know, we try to be better. I think we challenge ourselves to hear the other side, be sold by the other side. You know, hey, if John Sherman had sold Kansas City on why he needed to move the Royals to the crossroads, you know, they'd be doing it today. But he didn't sell them. Sell me on where we're wrong on policy. Let's get out of the name-calling business. That's where I want to be. So it started for me, Ronna McDaniels, who was head of the RNC, no longer the head of the RNC, was hired by the folks at NBC to be a contributor to MSNBC. And the folks at MSNBC, man, did they mutiny or what? I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, here's a good clip of Rachel Maddow, who I was, maybe it was because it was late last night, but I was trying to figure out what animal she looks like, because she's got like maybe a giraffe or something. She's got a very long
very
neck.
Long neck.
Yeah.
But we do defend ourselves as an institution. Not because we're personally offended by the way that we're treated, but because a free and uncowed press is necessary for our democracy. A free and uncowed press is part of our system of government. We stand up for ourselves as a way of standing up for our country.
No, you don't.
And for our Constitution.
You stand up for the Democratic Party.
She's so righteous, too.
She's so self-righteous.
Oh,
and
we stand up for our democracy.
No, you don't. You stand up for Democrats.
Yeah.
The Democrat right. Party is what you stand up for. Because all they have to do, Kurt, is put a memo together, fire it off to MSNBC, and they are the mouthpieces for this. They call themselves journalists. My God. Walter Cronkite is rolling over in his grave with these people saying that they are journalists. These are the same people, all of the hosts at MSNBC, who from day one of the Russia hoax drove that thing into the ground, even after they knew it was a hoax. It was wall-to-wall coverage that Donald Trump is an agent of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
How can they call themselves journalists? They're not. They are an arm of the Democrat Party. These are the same people that promoted the Hunter laptop as a hoax. And the folks over at Fox News, who have the highest ratings, by the way, there may be something behind that. They had a whole article on their digital side, the seven times that the MSNBC hosts in unison were wrong and just went wall to wall with it. Those are probably the top two, the Russia hoax and the Hunter laptop hoax. And if you get outside that tribe, you can't play. So somebody like Ronna McDaniel, who is a basic run-of-the-mill Republican, they don't want that on their network? They don't want to know that perspective?
No, of course they don't. And they'll, you know, if you watch that full Rachel Maddow clip, which I did last night, she goes into, oh, well, it's not just because she's a Republican. It's because she, you know, supported the conspiracy theory that Trump you know, didn't really lose the election and she blah, blah, blah. So, and they do that all the time. I mean, it's like, oh, it's not because they're Republican. We have no problem with Republicans. It's because they're insurrectionist, racist, xenophobes, you know, or something like that. It's like, yeah, it is because they're Republican, because that's what you say about all Republicans. You're just making, you know, you're making an excuse. Once they're no longer a threat anymore, once it's George Bush, you know, who's out there painting, you know, portraits for veterans, you know what I'm saying? Not in politics anymore. They're going to be like, oh, George Bush, he's the kind of Republican that we like. Yeah, of course, because he has no authority anymore.
Yeah, he was Hitler back in the day, by the way.
He's not threatening anybody. So yeah, they're going to be like, oh yeah, George Bush is great. I mean, Mitt Romney. Oh, Mitt Romney, you know, that's the kind of Republican that we can talk to. Well, he's weak. So, of course, he's not going to present any real threat to your
narrative.
Michael
Steele, who was at one point the RNC chairman, is one of the, they love him over at MSNBC because all he does is torch Republicans.
Right. Or what's his face? The banjo playing kid from the movie.
Banjo playing kid.
The guy
from
who
the
looks
movie.
Like the guy who looks like the banjo kid from that movie. MSNBC morning show with Mika.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Scarborough. Joe Scarborough.
Joe Scarborough, thank you.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the reasons
he was a Republican. He was a Republican congressman, right?
Right. Well, then he married Mika and now he's fallen off the planet, I think. Yeah. One of the shows I watch every day is The Five over on Fox. And one of the reasons I watch it and why I think it's so genius is they have a liberal contributor and you get to hear their perspective. Do I agree with it? Probably not most of the time. But I'll tell you, when Harold Ford Jr. is on there, I want to hear what he has to say because he's a guy who he's a Democrat and maybe on 75% of things we would not agree, but he trashes Biden on the border. You know, he trashes Biden where he needs to be trashed. So this can happen. You can have this discourse. You can have opposing views and you sit there and you listen to the other person and maybe you learn something and maybe you broaden your perspective. That's what this country was based on. Think about this. When you go to court, right, there's a back and forth. There's the defense. There's the prosecution. There's cross-examination. And somewhere in all of that, a jury of 12 has to figure out what the right answer is. The right answer sometimes is in the middle.
Right.
And because we get into tribalism and because, you know, the left is like, ah, Republicans, you're all a bunch of Hitlers and white people and blah, 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 blah. And Republicans, you know, you guys on the left, you want to turn us into a socialist communist country and blah, 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 blah. We get into name calling. And we don't get to what the issues are, and we don't fix them. You know, I mentioned that this is the day on April 4th that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. The View had the black author Coleman Hughes on promoting his book, The End of Race Politics, Arguments for a Colorblind America. Again, the arguments that Martin Luther King Jr. was making back in the 1960s. They called him a pawn of the right. Any black person who dares to say, I'm not part of this group think, where you put me over here and I'm in this, you know, I'm in this contained area and I can't be over here. I can't think for myself. When you do that, then you're an Uncle Tom or an Uncle Tim Scott down in South Carolina. And they basically, on The View, they just dismissed this guy as a pawn of the right. Yet more blacks are leaving the Democrat Party in droves because they're following the example of Coleman Hughes. And they're saying, hey, really, what have you done for me? You haven't done shit for me. Maybe I could do this for myself. And I like Coleman Hughes, and I think he had a great message.
Your argument for color blindness, I think, is something that the right has co-opted. And so many in the black community, if I'm being honest with you, because I want to be, believe that you are being used as a pawn by the right and that you're a charlatan of sorts.
He's not a Republican.
Well, so how do you...
You've
said that you're a conservative.
No,
you did. You actually said that in the podcast that you did 2 weeks ago.
I said I was a conservative.
Yes, you did. So, but my question to you is, how do you respond to those critics.
Okay, let's give him.
How do you respond to this totally made-up bullshit that I just said about you?
Yeah.
Answer me. How do you respond to people? You know, some people say that you're a racist. Some people say that you're a pawn of the right. I'm not saying that. Some people say that, you know? I'm just going to make it up. Yeah. How do you respond to that?
Right. Well, I mean, he might
respond to that by saying, boop.
He might use the words of Martin Luther King Jr. that I believe Americans ought to be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin.
Should we keep watching?
I guess. Go ahead.
Answering, yes.
First thing I want to, I think it's very important. The quote that you just pointed out about doing something special for the Negro, that's from the book Why We Can't Wait that I just mentioned.
Yes.
A couple paragraphs later, he lays out exactly what that something special was.
Yes.
And it was the Bill of Rights for the Disadvantaged, a broad class-based policy.
But he also says you must include race.
No, he didn't. He says it's
yes, he does.
Okay, well, everyone should go read the book Why We Can't Wait. Let's not get sidetracked by that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been co-opted by anyone. I've only voted twice, both for Democrats. Mm-hmm. Although I'm an independent, I would vote for a Republican, mm-hmm. probably a non-Trump Republican if they were compelling. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any evidence I've been co-opted by anyone, and I think that that's an ad hominem tactic people use to not address really the important conversations we're having here. And I think it's better, and it would be better for everyone if we stuck to the topics rather than make it about me.
With no evidence that I've been co-opted. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to the.
I appreciate it.
Shit infuriates me, man.
It really does. And you know, here's a guy.
It's the when did you stop beating your wife argument.
Here's a guy who gets it. Who understands?
Yeah.
And they're tearing him apart because, again, of tribalism, because he's outside of where his group is supposed to be.
Yeah. And I've watched some interviews with him. I haven't checked it out yet, but he was just on Joe Rogan a couple days ago, and I've watched some other stuff with him. And I don't agree with him on everything, but he's very level-headed, and you know, he's wanting to talk about the issues in a calm and real way. And I have to applaud him for that. I mean, to go on The View and to get accosted like that by this moron, Sunny Hostin. I mean, she is the lowest of the low as far as journalists
go. I'm not sure
go.
Any of them have a brain cell that they could share.
No. And she's also on top of being a race-baiting POS. I guess in addition to that, or on top of that, she's out here trying to advocate for these criminals to get out of jail. That's a whole different story that we can get into later. But she is just totally unbearable. One of the worst people on TV. And for him to go on The View and be very calm, you know, he realizes that he's not talking to her. He's talking to the viewer, and he's trying to, you know, keep a level head. And I have to applaud him for that because it's very difficult. And I don't think, as you can just see, I don't think I would be able to do that.
Well, on our podcast, we have invited many liberals to be on here or Democrats. Some Democrats don't even like that label of liberals. I mean, you know, Phil Lovato was on here and we had a great discussion after what happened at the Chiefs rally at Union Station. We talked about guns. He was a former prosecutor, now a defense attorney. And I thought that was great. And he said he would come back anytime we wanted him to come back to talk about politics. I think we ought to schedule him again as we round the curve here for the presidential race. Natalie Rush has been on this show. She's on KC-102. We talked about abortion with a very liberal female with her own perspective. We love having those kinds of discussions. And that's why it infuriates me when I have an exchange with, and we've had other people, keyboard warriors, you know, they want to blow us up on Facebook. They want to, bah, 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 bah. And then they post something that they found on the internet, which makes them feel so smart. But they won't come in and go toe to toe with us.
Or they will come in, but they want us to pay them.
Exactly. I think that's a friend of yours, basically. We're not paying you. We'll pay for Zarda to rappel down Arrowhead Stadium, but we're not going to pay you for your opinions. Bear with me on this for a second, because this came through the portal, the complaint portal. You know, sometimes I do something on the show and a keyboard warrior like Richard Kendrick will go, I'm going to fire this off and I'm going to get Dale in trouble. And they don't realize that the complaints come right to me.
Right.
Right. And I respond to all of them. If you complain about my show on KFKF, I am going to respond.
Uh-oh.
So this is what came through the complaint portal. Dale Carter continues his right-wing bent on air. I called in about 18 months ago and complained to him about his derogatory comment about Joe Biden. I mentioned I turn on country music stations to listen to country music, not political discourse. He blew it off, saying he makes fun of both parties. Not so. His Kurt Dale blog is loaded with anti-democratic trash. So don't tell me he's middle of the road. Today I decided to listen to at least part of his show to see if things had changed. He ranted about egg prices, suggesting it was Biden's runaway inflation that has caused higher prices over the last few years. Oh, shock. A veiled, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? In my opinion, asked Dale to do some research and see that avian flu has had a huge impact on egg prices. He talked about eggs being over $5 a dozen. Another exaggeration. I will once again not be listening to your station until you become a country station and not a MAGA booster.
Thanks for tuning in, Richard. Appreciate you.
Oh, no. I replied to these things. I said, Richard, your feedback conflates several different things. My show on KFKF and my podcast are two distinct entities. I'm curious what on my podcast you find anti-democratic. Maybe you'd come on this podcast, as several Democrats liberals have, and we can have a civil discussion. As far as the show goes, I did do an update on egg prices. I can check the tape, but I don't think I blame Biden on that one. I checked the tape. I did not blame Biden on that one. I am aware of the avian flu issue you mentioned. I have blamed Biden for inflation this week relative to chocolate prices, cocoa futures having doubled since January. You might not want to hear this, but our inflation problem is Biden's fault. Democrat economists like Larry Summers begged him not to dump billions of dollars in monopoly money into this economy. He did it anyway. We're living the results every time we buy groceries, gas, and pay our utility bills. Did I say, are you better off than you were 4 years ago on KFKF? I'd ask you to produce proof. Have I said it on my podcast? Without a doubt, because I believe it. My show, as I've said before, is about poking fun at both sides. You must have missed the shot I took at Trump this week, advising him to get a reverse mortgage to come up with cash. I get that many on the far left are so overcome with Trump derangement syndrome that any perceived shot at Biden or perceived support of things like a secure border, energy independence, and lower inflation can set them off. Again, the invitation is there for the podcast. Bring issues where you think we disagree, and let's talk it out. By the way, I don't take MAGA as an insult. Why wouldn't any American want to make our country better? What do you think?
That's too reasonable, Dale. It's too reasonable.
Okay, well, here we go. We're not done yet. There's a few back and forths here. Richard, back to me. As I said before, I don't listen to KFKF or any country Western station. We don't call it Western anymore. To hear political discourse. I am particularly turned off by commentary that is clearly intended to suggest that President Biden is responsible for things he did not cause, like the imaginary inflated egg prices. Trump is a danger to our democracy. Biden is not. If you want to do political commentary on your radio program, talk about how you feel about Trump's efforts to conduct a coup, about his inability to tell the truth about almost everything, and about his use of offensive language to describe anyone who does not agree with him. I'm not against making America great. I'm against Trump being elected again using a slogan that he can't possibly achieve. Poking fun at either candidate is not what we need. We need serious conversation about the damage to our country that Trump plans to do if returned to the White House. God forbid. Are we better off now than 4 years ago? Richard says, absolutely. 4 years ago was the beginning of the pandemic that Trump mismanaged about as badly as possible. Ingest bleach to kill the virus? How many times have we shot that down? How many times?
I don't even understand why you respond to these people, honestly.
Produce the tape. Show us where he said that.
It's just dumb.
You really want to talk about a secure border? Congress came up with a bipartisan agreement that was negotiated by James Lankford. Now, Mike Johnson won't bring it up in the House because Trump doesn't want to solve the problem.
You are fake news.
He wants to use it as a campaign issue. Defend that on your program.
I will build a great, great wall.
Have you bought the Bible that Trump is selling now for $59.99? What a disgusting thing to do. See, I would kind of sort of agree with him.
You're not a nice person.
Yeah, yeah. He will resort to anything to bilk his blah, blah, blah. So I wrote back, fair enough. Always easier to write an email than have an adult conversation. I could refute every point you've made. Not worth my effort. I've done my show the same way for nearly 30 years on KFKF, poking fun at both sides. In fact, the first morning show I did was during Reagan's second term, and I poked fun at him. I'll keep doing what I do. The ratings seem to show that I'm doing fine. And if you ever want to come on the podcast, as people who share your views have, let me know when. You won't, because again, it's much easier to be a keyboard warrior. And I wished him a happy Easter.
I'd say congratulations.
He says, I don't think you can refute what Trump, that Trump doesn't want to solve the border crisis and that Mike Johnson is his pawn. Okay, so a couple more things. He sucked me in on this, Kurt. He sucked me in. Where was Biden on the border his first 2 years when he had both houses of Congress? Nowhere.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
You may recall as a candidate, he told them to come. Many had Biden-Harris t-shirts on. He only cares about the border now because it's the number one issue to voters. The wonderful bill you refer to is a train wreck. It's full of nonsense that has nothing to do with the border. It allows even more people to come in at a time we should tighten down.
Come on, man.
President Trump will reverse all of the executive orders Biden signed that allowed the invasion we're dealing with today. We won't need a Christmas tree bill that won't solve the problem created by Joe Biden. And his final shot at me, tell that to James Langford. You're a diehard MAGA. Bye.
You're poor shit.
So, again, I invite him to come on the podcast. He won't.
I don't think that's going
to
happen, Dale.
Most people won't. Again, if you're to the center left and you listen, maybe you hate listening to the podcast or whatever, reach out to me. I think we're reasonable people. Aren't we reasonable people?
I am the most reasonable person you'll ever meet in your life.
I think you're an unreasonable asshole sometimes, but I think I am reasonable. Bob Watson, more than reasonable. He is our local State Farm agent for 5 decades, celebrating his 50th anniversary as a State Farm agent on May 1st at his offices at 7th and Main in Blue Springs. Go by and say hi. Get a rate quote. I mean, you know, maybe you're paying too much for car insurance. Maybe bundling makes a lot of sense for you. Home and car insurance, as I've done with my own insurance. Commercial insurance, boats, won't be long. We'll get the pontoons out on the lakes. Bob is licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, but he is officed in Blue Springs at 7th and Main. 816-229-7878. Let Bob Watson give you a quote. Let him feed you. He's going to have a food truck out there on May 1st from, I think it's 11 to 2 in downtown Blue Springs. Go by and say hi to Bob Watson and tell him you enjoy the podcast. Or you hate the podcast. Tell him you hate the podcast. Maybe that'll work too. I don't know. Out in California, they have a law that says you can't show the faces of suspects. That's just wrong. I don't know why I do that voice when I do that sometimes, but it's wrong. You just can't show their faces. So one community in California thought it would be pretty funny to take suspect pictures and put Lego heads on them, right? Like that. This is why you need the video version. What are you supposed to be?
I'm just the normal, regular, cool guy, and you're an old guy with
glasses.
And I'm
an old Lego guy with glasses on. Fine. The Lego company in California, by the way.
I'm just going to leave those up for the rest of the show.
Lego has told California to stop using Lego heads to mask the identities of suspects. So can't do that anymore. They're going to have to come up with something better. In fact, we probably, Kurt, right now are in violation. Is yours a Lego head?
Yeah.
Because I don't see like a thing on top of it that you could connect
well,
to anything.
Well, there's the hair. The hair's on top.
Ah, the hair's on top.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Those are our Lego faces. We're running the risk of being sued by the Lego Corporation. Maybe Richard Kendrick will turn us in. Maybe he watches the podcast. I really don't know. Until next week, this special edition of Dale Carter's America. We'll be back at our regular time next week. For all of us here at Dale Carter's America, that would be me and Kurt. Have a fantastic weekend.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.